case of the morning is number 02-1349, the United States against Fahena Gufaro. Ms. Christensen.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Joanna Christensen. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent the appellant, Jose Bahena, in this matter. Mr. Bahena pled guilty to two counts of illegal reentry of a previously deported alien. The district court erroneously determined that these two counts were not groupable under the sentencing guidelines. The specific section that we're concentrating on in this case is section 3D1.2, which as a general rule states that all counts involving substantially the same harm should be grouped together. This case, this case has two counts that have identical harm, the harm to society's interest in general in protecting its borders. The application notes to section 3D1.2 provide some guidance as to how to apply both subsection A and subsection B. Subsection B is the one that we're concentrating on. The application notes say that when there is no identifiable victim, such as in immigration cases, the counts will be grouped together when the societal interests that are harmed are closely related.
Now, of course, the government was required to arrest, process, and deport Mr. Bahena Gufaro twice. Why isn't that two separate harms to the United States? It was certainly more costly than a single prosecution for multiple related offenses.
Right. I believe that the guidelines, however, see this as a type of case where the harm is identical and should be grouped. And Application Note 4 speaks to cases where there are distinctly legally distinct crimes that happen at two different times, but if they have the same victim and the same criminal objective with one composite harm, they should be grouped.
How then would you respond to the Bradford case, the 11th Circuit case that involved two prison escapes? Isn't reentry after deportation very similar to prison escape? I mean, in terms of the victim and whether the harm is substantially the same. Is there a way to distinguish that case?
I believe, Your Honor, that the Bradford case, as in all of these cases, the grouping decision is a highly factually based decision, heavily factually based. And so each case deserves its own consideration. And I would argue that this case, that there's not really any separate fear or risk of harm up to the level that when someone escapes from a prison is the same type of fear and harm.
Well, but wait a minute. They have a lot. I mean, these people have something in common, don't they? They're both criminals who have been convicted.
Right. They're both convicted felons, but that's true of many people who are charged with crimes in the federal system anyway.
So you don't see any you don't see anything similar to a prison escape here?
No, I do see the similarities in the arguments. Clearly it's the same unidentifiable victim or society's interest as a whole, but I also see that the cases are dissimilar in their facts. And in this circuit, this court has primarily said that when the grouping decision is disputed at sentencing, that it is the decision is to be based on whether the harm is substantially same in the two counts. Granted, this case seems to be one of first impression with two illegal reentries, but the application notes specifically mention immigration offenses as the type of counts that should be grouped together. And the government primarily focuses on the lack of a common criminal or objective or common scheme or plan. And Mr. Bahena submits that there was a common criminal objective in this case, which was to remain illegally in the United States after he had been deported. And the record reflects that that was his objective each time he reentered the United States. His family is in Illinois, in Waukegan, and he has lived in Illinois almost his entire life, and his fiance and his children are also in Illinois. I don't believe that the government's focus on the lack of a common scheme or plan is appropriate in this case, since it seems that Mr. Bahena has got the same criminal objective each time in his reentries. The government also attempts to make an analogy to the guidelines section 4, chapter 4, part A, which deals with criminal history category, to try and expand the definition of common scheme or plan. And I believe that that is a misplaced analogy in this situation. One of the cases the government cites, the Yahn case, Y-A-H-N-E, specifically says that the consideration between, or the consideration in section 3D1.2 is different and completely separate from the consideration in chapter 4, part A. Obviously, one deals with the current offense and the current offense level, and Chapter 4A deals with prior offenses and whether they were related, often in a completely different court, often in state court, and in the past. I believe that they're not, it's not an analogy that's appropriate. The application notes to Section 3B1.2 provide enough of a basis to determine what a common criminal objective or common scheme or plan is in this case, and there's no need to go to another guideline section. And finally, I'd like to address the government's submission of yesterday of the United States versus Pibbs case, which is a Fourth Circuit case from 1999. And I believe that the government has submitted this case for its persuasive value rather than its precedential value. But also, that gets back to the Bradford argument, these cases are heavily fact-specific, and that they depend on the facts of the individual case, and certainly the Pitts case is largely factually dissimilar from the case at bar. If the court doesn't have any questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Miller.
May it please the court, Barry Miller for the United States. Defendant's appellant argues that there's not one composite harm here, that there is one composite harm here, but that's clearly not true for exactly the reason that Judge Rovner stated. There's harm occurred different times, more than a year apart, after law enforcement action, and the Bradford case that the judge pointed to is exactly the right analogy. The only difference between the Bradford case in this case is that in one case someone was trying to get out of government custody, in the other case someone was trying to come into the United States. But the circumstances are the same, the need to capture someone for violating the law on separate occasions is the same, and the policy interests here are the same. Here the defendant relies on section 3D1.2B of the guidelines as the governing section. And while the language of that guideline itself may or may not be crystal clear, the policy that's behind it is very clear, and it's the policy as stated in the guidelines and in cases interpreting the guidelines that the court should look to. The policy is most clearly expressed in the introductory comment. The introductory comment says that the rules seek to provide, quote, incremental punishment for significant additional criminal conduct. We would submit that a second reentry following arrest and deportation is significant additional criminal conduct and deserves incremental punishment under the grouping guideline. This court's opinion in McDuffie, which is quoted at page 15 in our brief, also discusses that provision and discusses the introductory statement and says that crimes committed on different days are distinct offenses that are ordinarily not grouped. This argument is also supported by the examples in Application Note 4, which emphasize that repeated instances of robbery or rape against the same victim should not be grouped. Now, in this case, while it's a victimless crime, we had the same victim, the United States and its immigration laws, the same intent, but this victim, the immigration laws, was abused separately on two different days over a year apart with an intervening arrest. This caused separate harm under the guideline. A technical question is whether the counts are connected by a common criminal objective or constitute part of a common scheme or plan. The question of whether it is a common objective or common plan is talked about in our brief, and also in the Pitts case submitted to the court by letter. This court's Joy and Cueto cases, cited in our brief at 13 to 15, emphasize that the same crime on different days are not grouped. They're separate instances of harm and do not normally involve a common interest.
Now let's say, sorry, he had entered once, gave the same amount of time, done the same amount of crime. How would these two entries be more offensive to society?
What the reason that it's offensive to society here, Your Honor, is the intervening arrest and deportation. The fact that there's law enforcement action in between and it's a year apart means that the border has been crossed more than once. Our attempts to safeguard the border have been violated more than once. And it's not just an abstract thing. He receives each time he's deported, the defendant receives a form saying you cannot come back. You can't come back without the permission of the Attorney General. It's standard procedure to sign that form. And so he's coming back each time after a specific warning, after specific government action, and then the government has to go and catch him again, process him again, and deport him again. And it's appropriate that that's additional criminal conduct that would be punished separately. And it's not part of a common scheme or plan. The defendant doesn't sit at the border the first time and say, I'll come back. If I come back and get deported again, I'll come back and I'll keep doing it. That's not his scheme when he goes in. Common scheme or plan talks about, for better term, a crime spree. I'm going to go out and do these crimes. And the cases that talk about common scheme and plan focus on intent, that you have the intent to commit a series of crimes that will achieve some common objective. Here, it's single separate episodes of criminal behavior, each satisfying an individual goal, although that goal is identical, arguably, but it's an individual goal to cross over the U.S. on separate occasions. The Pitts Court says it's appropriate not to group the offenses in that case. And the logic of the Pitts Court is what should apply because it correctly applies the policy of the guidelines, whatever the factual differences in the cases. We would argue, therefore, that the court should look at McDuffie, Bradford, which we do think is controlling, Pitts, Cueto, and the other cases we cite to help determine the policy of the guidelines, and that under the policy, separate instances of reentry a year apart following separate deportations with intervening law enforcement action are not the type of offenses that should be grouped. We respectfully ask that the trial court sentence be affirmed by this court.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Ms. Christensen has 3 minutes left.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd first like to respond to what the government started with that these two crimes were a year apart. And while that's in the indictment, the year represents the time in which the government found the defendant. That's what the statute talks about. It has nothing to do, and I don't believe the record reflects, when Mr. Bahena re-entered the country.
It's a continuing offense.
It is. It's a continuing offense.
Mm-hmm.
And to speak of Mr. Bahena's intent, I believe that the record is scant on that issue, but I believe in a lot of these cases, when the defendant has been in the country since he was an infant, his entire family resides here, as well as his young children, the intent is to come back, unfortunately. I can't speak specifically to Mr. Bahena, but I believe it is to come back until for as long as he can, and in this case, until they find him again. And that intent is, as far as forming the intent at the beginning of a crime spree, that is what common plan or scheme, that is within the Chapter 4A consideration. That's what the courts have said when you are looking at prior offenses, whether they're related. And again, I think that that analysis is just not appropriate in this situation. And if we're going to make any analysis to a different part of the guideline, perhaps a relevant conduct analysis is more appropriate, although as I submitted earlier, I don't believe it's necessary because the application notes of Section 3D1.2 appropriately cover that section. And I think it is very important to look at Application Note 4 because that's the application note that the Sentencing Commission has specifically laid out to interpret subsection B and says that even if they are legally distinct offenses occurring on different days, they can be grouped. There are many offenses in the federal sentencing guidelines that occur on different days that are grouped together and don't necessarily have individual punishments for each one, which is the purpose of the grouping section itself. And in conclusion, unless the court has other questions, Mr. Bahena respectfully requests this court reverse his sentence and remand for resentencing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. Thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement. We have finished the call of the day, and this court will rise until 9:30 tomorrow morning.